Today's scripture is from Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. Again, that is Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland.
I want to thank Isaiah for singing. It'll be a while before we hear it again. We look forward to that next time. I hope the transition to Virginia goes well for everyone. In November, Pastor asked that we have a stewardship month beginning of this year. Little did I know that this would be the topic for our quarter of study. I've spoken on stewardship before, but I said I want to do something different. So I didn't even look at my old notes. I just tried to do this from a different look. So what is this thing called stewardship? It's more than money. Well, does it involve money? The title says there's money involved. But is it really about money? So often, people think stewardship is just giving money or returning a faithful tithe. But studies show those with the most money give the least. So what is this thing called stewardship? If charitable organizations have to depend not on the wealthy to give, the average, the poor, what is this thing called stewardship? It reminds me of a story of a man, a rich man, was driving his sports car and he got into an accident and he died. The next thing he knows, he's standing in a long line outside of the pearly gates. And he's watching the people come up, and some people are allowed in, some people turned away. And when he gets to the front of the line, there's St. Peter, and he has his clipboard. He's looking at the man, and your name, and where do you live, and checked him off. He says, welcome. The man felt good. He walked in. As they're walking, they're down the street, they're talking, and the man is looking to the right. You see all these elegant mansions. He's looking to the left. He sees these noble estates. He's feeling good. He's walking on those brilliant streets of gold, and he's seeing wonderful buildings. And they're walking and talking till they get to the end of this long road, and they stop in front of a little cabin, run-down cabin. And St. Peter looks at the man, and he motions to the cabin. The man is taken back. He looks at St. Peter. He looks at the cabin. He looks at St. Peter. He looks at the homes he saw on the hill. He looks at the homes he saw on this road. When he finally gets his words together, he says, St. Peter, why do I have to get this rundown cabin when there's so many elegant homes all around? St. Peter shrugged, put his hands up, and he said, I did the best I could with the money you sent us. We should be thankful stewardship is not like that. For the rich would live on, and the poor would just get the rundown cabin. But stewardship is not about money. Let's pray. Father, this morning I ask you to be with us as a congregation, be with me as a speaker today, but be with us as a congregation, especially this quarter, as we look at stewardship and what it really means. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Isaiah 48, 43. So what is this thing called stewardship? Is it about money? Maybe. Is it more than money? Absolutely. Does it involve money? For some people, it does. Does it involve a commitment? For everyone, it does. So this morning, I want to do three things. I want to just define what is a steward, two, what is stewardship, and three, what is our personal role in stewardship? What is a steward? Well, the etymology of that word, the origin of that word, comes from the Greek, oikonomia. That means the management of a household, administration of a household. That's the same root from which we get the word economics, oikonomia, economics. Same word. A steward is one who manages the affairs of another. The steward doesn't own, but he works on behalf of the owner. An example, a great example we have in the Bible is Joseph, Genesis 39. The Bible says Joseph found favor in the eyes of who? Potiphar. And he became his attendant, his steward. And he was put in charge of the household, and he trusted him to care about everything. Right. Steward. You don't own it, you just manage it. There's trust given to a steward. Stewards can steal. All those who have a 401k, there's a fiduciary relationship with your broker. The assumption is that this person is going to do what's best for you. Sadly, we found out over the years that many people are doing what's best for them. The more fees generated, the more fees they get back. And the less the investor has 20, 30, 40 years from now. Laws were put in place to address that. So this thing of being a steward is a serious role. You're managing for someone else, but you don't own it. Number one, what is a steward? Someone who manages. So someone who manages, and what is stewardship? Is the active management of someone else's business affairs. The active management. When I was reading, preparing for this, I read a quote by Paul Stevens. He's a professor emeritus from the Marketplace in Theology Leadership in Regent College. That's in Vancouver, British Columbia, far, far west. Canada, almost due north of Seattle. And he said this about stewardship. He says, stewardship is another way of talking about ministry, and it would revolutionize ministry if people could think of it in terms of stewardship. Stewardship, ministry. He's liking them to be synonymous. Stewardship, ministry. What is a ministry? Merriam-Webster tells us a ministry is a thing or person through which something is accomplished. Ministries, we have them here in the States. In Europe, Ministry of Civil Aviation, we call it here Department of Transportation. Ministry of Finance, we call it Department of Treasury, right? So a person can be a ministry. A department can be a ministry, a group, an agency can be a ministry to accomplish something. So Paul Stevens is telling us that if we see the two as one, would revolutionize what people think of as stewardship. It's not just giving money in hopes of getting a mansion up in the life after. That's not it. Giving money is not always it. So how does this stewardship function for the Christian, for the believer? The owner, the Lord, is asking the steward, the believer, to manage which he gave us. What has he given us? Time. Are you here today? You've been given time by God. If you're here today, you have something to manage for God. Time. Talent. What do you do that you do well? What interest do you have that you can serve others with? What abilities has the Lord given you? Talent and treasure. What do you have that you can share with others the Lord's given you? It can be money. It can be art. Treasure, value. You may not have much, but some people can cook. You may not have much, but some people are faithful, are going to see people who are sick in the hospital. That is very valuable when you're sick. You can't get up, you can't get out, but there's someone you can always count on to be there to break that monotony of being sick. That is value. So stewardship, how does it function? The owner, the Lord, is asking the believer, the steward, to manage that which he gave him, time, talent, and treasure, that which he gave her, time, talent, and treasure, in order that something, his will, be accomplished. That his will be accomplished. So that's where the commitment comes in, like I said before. Okay, so what is this about? Commitment. Commitment to whom? Commitment for what? The believer has to put himself, has to put herself, has to put the family in subjugation to God's will. In the opening story that I gave, the man got into heaven, but he was not rich towards God, and he realized it too late. The Bible tells us, don't store riches here. They can be stolen. They will be corrupted. They will rust. Whatever we put up for value, it will not last. But if you wish towards God, it will last. It will be accounted, and you'll get the best return on investment possible. Being rich towards God. God wants to bless others through us. We have a mouthpiece. Our lives should reflect the relationship. Genesis 39 says that from the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. Who can be blessed because of you? The Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. Genesis 39, verse 5. If you read that whole chapter, you realize that the only thing that Potiphar concerned himself with was what he's going to eat for the day. He was rich and getting richer. He had a steward that was faithful and honest, above reproach, and he benefited greatly. We are to be stewards for God. Who's out here this year that can be blessed by our relationship to God and with them? Mark Finley said this. I love it. I wish I had come up with it, but I didn't. God must do something in us before he can do something through us. God must do something in us before he can do something through us. So here's a commitment. You got to be committed to the process. I use my sports analogies a lot. I don't have many good cooking ones, and I know I don't have any sewing ones, Susan. So I got to go with what I know. People asked Warren Buffett in the 90s, why didn't he invest in tech stocks? He said, you know, You got to go with what you know. So I'm going with what I know. The Patriots were practicing a couple days ago in the snow, right? You play in the snow, you practice in the snow. That's all there is to it. If you see these guys when they don't have a good game, even if you win, you don't have a good game, you can always tell when you come to the playhouse. Monday, Tuesday, the coach has got the clicker. What's he doing? Defensive coach, offensive coach, whoever's running with Belichick, you're on the clicker. You're standing over here. You should be standing over here. Forward, backwards, forward, backwards, forward, backwards. See, you're out of place, and they start reviewing these plays. Even if you won, because he wants to win by a long shot. He doesn't want to be a close game. So constantly reviewing. Okay, what are you doing over here? What are you doing over here? Look at the formation. We should automatically, it's constantly reviewing. The Lord is constantly preparing us to do something for him. We complain when it gets hard. Human nature. Everybody complains. Paul says we have to learn not to complain. Human nature is to complain. Oh, I got a flat tire. At least I have a car. It's cold out there today. I got a problem with this. I got a problem with that. Yeah, you do. At least you have something to have a problem with. You're laughing, huh? It resonates. Yeah, it does. At least you have something to have a problem with. The house, I have a problem with the car. I got a problem. Boy, a lot of times when you have nothing to, boy, you really wish you had something to have a problem with. So the Lord is preparing us through trials. The Lord is preparing us, this relationship, right? That's where the commitment comes. You can't give up. You can't give up in this process. Otherwise, you never get prepared. If the guys get upset when Belichick's calling them out, hey, you're out of place. What happens? Hey, all of a sudden you see the starter's not starting next week. You say, what's going on here? Hey, send a message. I call the plays. You run the plays. If it doesn't work, end of the year, there's a trade. I call the plays. You run the plays. You can't work with me, go to another team. Happens all the time. Someone has to be in charge. Someone's got to call the plays, and someone's got to run the plays. We have to trust the omnipotent one to call the plays, that we run the plays to the best of our abilities. You see, this thing of stewardship is not about money. It has never been about money. It will never be about money. Stewardship's about relationships. And the key to successful stewardship is to have a good relationship with the play caller. In John 15, the Lord said to his disciples, you're no longer my servants, right? You're my friends. Why? Because I've told you everything that I have learned from the Father. This is a friendship. This is a friendship that entails a lot of faith, a lot of stepping out in faith, a lot of not always understanding, but going forward. The more we trust him, the better our stewardship. The more we rely upon him, the more we give of our treasure. The more we believe in him, the more we will tell people of his saving grace. Stewardship is not about money. Stewardship is about relationships. The greater your relationship with God, the greater your stewardship to mankind. Steward, person who manages someone else's affairs. Stewardship, the active management, entails trust. Third thing I want to bring to you today. What is our personal role in stewardship? If it's not about money, it involves everyone. We are to use our time, talent, and treasure to accomplish His will. So the question is, what is His will? If you look at the Gospels, what did Christ do most of all? He spread the gospel. He was the good news, giving the good news. He ransomed the captive. He fed the hungry. He gave drink to the thirsty. He clothed the naked. He comforted the sick. He sustained the fatherless. And He protected the widows. The ministry of healing tells us that Christ did more healing than preaching. We know He healed a lot of people. Sometimes He'd come into town and He'd the whole town to be healed. We have some sermons. We have some great stories. We have some great discourses with the disciples. But, man, that's a lot. More healing than preaching. So, if this stewardship is not about money, and it's about a relationship, then we all have a part to play. We are to use what we have in our current station to minister on God's behalf. Plain and simple. At work, and your friends at work, your neighbors, your family, extended family. I submit to you that if everybody in our church increase their stewardship, increase their care, increase their concern, actively did something about what they could do. I can't give like Bill Gates, but I can give something. I can't give like Warren Buffett, but I can do something. I submit to you, if everyone use their ability in this church to nurture the members of this church or our community, we'd have a problem with our parking lot. So what you say, what you might ask is the issue. Well, wherever you are, work that vineyard. Some of us are called to go afar. And that's good. But everyone is called to serve where they are. Wherever you are, you work that vineyard. You see a need? Do your part. You're not supposed to do my part. You're supposed to do your part. And I guarantee you, we'd have problems seating in this church. We have problems with the church school. It would be too many kids for that little space. What a problem to have. I didn't say for money. I said the stewardship. Caring for others as the Lord cared for us. Based on that relationship we have with Him. You see, stewardship is not so much an act or an event, but it's a lifestyle that honors God. Glorifies God every day. So instead of just saying it's returning a faithful tithe, instead of saying it's giving offering or serving a church office, think about it this way. It's a ministry that's open 24/7. Never closes, never goes out of business, works all holidays, available on the weekends, because it's not a single event. The lifestyle. Stewardship. Think about that again for the first time. Stewardship. What does that mean to you? What can you do differently in 2018 than 2017? With God, there's always an opportunity to do over, to do better. God is gracious and forgiving, rich in mercy. So, beloved, this is a new year. This is the first Sabbath of the new year. Tomorrow marks the first week of the new year. I submit to you that this is an excellent time to review and renew your stewardship. Isaiah tells us, forget the former. Dwell not on the past. Did you fall down? Get up. Did you make mistakes? Learn from them and don't do them again. Can you do things better? Sure you can. Partner with God. If mere mortals will spend so much time reviewing tapes of the game, strategizing for something which, in a few years, everyone will forget happened. How much more should we focus on things that will outlast time? We're counseled to forget the former things and not dwell in the past. Let us partner with God so that He can do a new thing on your behalf, on our behalf, on behalf of my family, on behalf of the church family, on behalf of the community. May the Lord do something new for you in 2018.
You do a new thing in me, in us, in Worcester, in 2018. We pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.